some people from the southern U.S. I just want to clarify this. This is the Delta Yield concept, not a discussion of yields from the Mississippi Delta. So anybody that needs to go, feel free. And I just met Gary Kaczynowski, and so now I'm really nervous because I'm really going to talk a lot about his concepts. And really the reason for doing this, I've seen a lot of people talking about the Delta Yield concept in some way or another. And I think it's important to kind of go through how this theory is developed so that we clearly understand what this concept is about. As we try to move forward, we have some very large databases now of end response curves that are being examined. And the Delta Yield is another technique that can be used for these very large databases of end responses. And so my audience is really two. I've got the people who are involved in making recommendations from these large end nitrogen response databases. That's one audience. And the audience, number two, I guess, here are people that might wonder what would be the implications of this approach on kind of the day-to-day recommendation at the farm level. So let me just kind of go through this concept. This was developed by Gary Kaczynowski and was first published back in 1996 at the International Precision Conference, Precision Agriculture Conference. And really the objective here was to try to do something about managing nitrogen variably across the field, recognizing that different areas of the field responded differently. And could there be some sort of a recommendation or model built on some index of yield, because that's what you can measure in the field. And so is there some index of yield that would relate well to the economic optimum nitrogen rate? And can these relationships be used to vary nitrogen across the field? And so this was really the basis for this concept. And Gary used a large N database like we have right now in the Midwest in various states. So let me just kind of go through, the basic curve. And I'm going to get kind of into it a little bit with equations. Those of you that know me know that I can, I tend to be a bit detailed. And so I'm going to kind of go into that a little bit with these equations. But the concepts of the delta U are based on a quadratic response. And I'm showing here a quadratic plateau response, but the quadratic plateau is acceptable as well, because the area that we're really interested in has that quadratic nature to it. And the dotted line that I have here is the economic optimum nitrogen rate. And if you go through and develop the equation for that economic optimum nitrogen rate using a quadratic response, you'll get something that looks like this. And that is R, which is the end cost to crop price ratio, minus B, which is the linear part of that curve, and C in the denominator, which tends to be the curvilinear part of that curve. One thing that you notice is that the economic optimum nitrogen rate doesn't have Y in it anywhere. And there's been a lot of discussion that EONR is not correlated to Y. And this is why there's no Y. And EONR is really focused on the magnitude of that response as reflected by the linear portion, B, and the curvilinear part of that, which is C. So economic optimum rate, you wouldn't expect to be correlated to anything that's absolute in yield, whether it's the yield of the check, the yield at economic optimum nitrogen rate, maximum yield. We're really concerned about how great that response is and some nature of that response, and that's what determines EONR when you're using a quadratic type of equation. Okay, so let's just kind of discuss these factors, B and C. Just do a little sensitivity analysis. This may be a little bit remedial for some of you in the room, but it wasn't for me when I went through it. And I'm going to use a great visual, my arm, and we'll just kind of go through this. So bear with me here, and this will be great for this. People will be looking for this to be recorded later. They won't get this at all. But if you take a look, let's keep the curvature somewhat constant. And my elbow is at the intercept. Here it's 8. As I change B, the curvature stays the same, and I just kind of pivot. That's what B does. It just kind of changes that slope, but there's no change in curvature. So that's all B is doing in these quadratic equations. Let's take a look at C, and I'm using an absolute value here of C because it's usually negative in some of these equations, but I'm just concerned about the magnitude. In case of C, we're keeping the arm constant, that the slope, the B part, constant. I'm just coming over and bending this down. I'm changing the curvature of that response. So C is just doing this. Okay? So I just wanted to go through that, you know, because I kind of found it interesting, and unfortunately I've taken the time to share it with you. So one of the things that Gary noticed in his paper was that B and C are related. And this is important. What this means when we take a look at response is that as my slope goes down, I tend to have less curvature. As my slope goes up, I tend to have more curvature. So as you look across all these databases, these things tend to relate like this. This is a great visual. Okay, so there we go. So as B increases, as I get more slope, I get more curvature to that response. And that's really an important part of the development of this theory. And so that allows you to relate the B coefficient with the C coefficient with a proportionality constant. In Gary's case, he had 0.002706. That, you know, is the empirical part of this model development and would be expected to change. And there's a great R squared there. So it's a pretty tight relationship. Okay, so that's part of it. Let's just go through the practical implications of that then as we look at how nitrogen rates could vary across the field under different economic conditions. And I think this is kind of interesting. Let's take a look at some ratio values from 0.05 to 0.25. That's in the US units, SI units would be 2.8 to 14. So 0.05 is when the nitrogen price is relatively cheap compared to the corn price. And 0.25 would be just the opposite. Nitrogen is getting pretty expensive compared to the crop price. So those would be more unfavorable economic conditions at that 0.25 level. So I've got two curves drawn up here. One of the top curve is where I have a higher slope and more curvature. And I'm relating those, as Gary Kachanowski related those, with that alpha coefficient. So as B changes, C changes as well. That's the top curve, more slope, more curvature. The bottom curve is less slope, less curvature. So let's take a look at what the impact of changing economics would have on kind of the range of economic optimum nitrogen rates. So let's take a look at the top curve first. You notice that across that range of ratios, I've got about a 35 kilogram of nitrogen per hectare range of what would be considered economically optimum rates. On the bottom curve, where I have less response and less curvature, you notice that my range is about threefold. So I'd have about 104 kilogram per hectare range in economic optimum nitrogen rate. What's interesting is that the implication for this is where I have very responsive areas in the field. Those are not as sensitive to economic changes as the less responsive areas in the field. Okay. So that could be important for something we do practically. All right, so the thing is to define delta yield, and this is kind of the definition. There are two basic definitions that you can use, and we'll probably need to use both of these as we move to something practical in the field. And I'll discuss why that is, perhaps. One way to measuring delta yield is taking the yield from where there's been no nitrogen applied. That's the intercept on the axis there. Up to the yield associated with the economic optimum nitrogen rate. So this would be delta yield sub EONR, if you will. Then there's also another delta yield that you can look at, of course, which is measuring from the same starting point going up to maximum yield, which would be delta yield sub max. So there's a couple of points that you can use, or a couple delta yields that you can use. And you would expect them to be fairly well related. Okay, so when Gary was going through this, he was trying to figure which of these yield indices would be pretty well related with EONR. As we indicated, we showed that equation for EONR, there's no Y, and we figured out why. And so, you know, those first three indices, yield potential, those are absolute numbers. Yield at EONR, that's an absolute yield. Yield with no N applied, that's an absolute yield. Those weren't as well correlated as things that took into account the degree and the nature of the response. Delta yield max, which I just defined there, and delta yield EONR. So those were better correlated to EONR than absolute yield types of indexes or indices. Okay, so from all of this, develop an equation. And a lot of, I think there's been some misperceptions about the equation that was, or this curve that was shown in Gary's paper. And that is, that this looks like a least squares fit, but it isn't. This is not a least squares equation. If you take a look, the fact that you can relate C to B with that alpha factor allows you to go through a series of substitutions using that economic optimum nitrogen rate equation to come up with basically a quadratic equation. And so this curve represents the solution to that quadratic equation using the quadratic formula. And that's what this curve represents. It's not a least squares fit. And so if you go through and you do some wacky assigning of A, B, and C factors, and you solve the quadratic equation, you get something that looks like this. And you can plug this in, and this is basically what you get as an equation. I think I got the signs right. I went through and actually, that's my curve that I was able to reproduce from Gary's paper using an equation like this that I put into a spreadsheet. And so this is a more of a, I just want to make it clear, it's not a statistical fit. So when you're looking at relating delta yield to EONR, it's a couple of things. It would be good to use this kind of a mechanistic equation, a little bit more mechanistic. The other thing is that if we expect some sort of a curvilinear nature, if we're just looking at R squareds, remember that's always linear. And the nature of this, we would expect to be curvilinear. So when we go through and try to relate delta yield to EONR, the correlation may not always bring out the strength of that relationship. Okay, so let's just do a little sensitivity analysis with this model to kind of show you how it works. First thing is that this delta yield model is sensitive to economics. It has R in it, which is the nitrogen price to crop price ratio. And I'm going to show two curves. The top curve is when we have the very favorable economics. Nitrogen price is fairly cheap compared to corn price. And the bottom curve is the opposite. Nitrogen price is higher relative to crop price. You take a look at what happens to the nature of that curve. If you take a look for any delta yield where my economics are more favorable, I apply more nitrogen. That's the implication of that. So it is sensitive to the economics, and that's of great concern to us as we try to build recommendations that are flexible to these various conditions. The other thing is the alpha factor. Remember that the alpha factor was developed from the database relating the slope to the curvature and how those two are related. And I just went through just for funsies and took a look and see what if I change that relationship. So the middle curve is the one, is that relationship that was observed by Kachanowski. And then the bottom one is I figured, well, what happens if curvature increases twice as fast as what was observed in that study? And the top curve is what would happen if the curvature only changed half as fast. And again, this gets back, if you remember this curve that I showed earlier where I was comparing a curve with more slope to a curve with less slope. And remember what happened to the sensitivity in economics. As I got more curvature, I became less sensitive to economic conditions. If I had more curvature, I was less sensitive to economic conditions. If I had less curvature, I was more sensitive to economic conditions, and that's what you kind of see here. The top curve is where my curvature is not changing as rapidly with my slope. And you can see that delta yield is much more sensitive to EONR. Or ENR is much more sensitive to delta yield. The bottom curve, where I'm a lot flatter and have less curvature, I'm not as sensitive. EONR is not as sensitive to delta yield because I've got more curvature at that point. So the less curvature, the more sensitive that I am to economics. Okay, so we can build those kinds of things in. So if we were to use this approach, what is it going to involve? Well, first of all, it's important to recognize that this takes into account not only the economics, but how those responses can change across the field. And that's really important. This kind of approach does allow a more site-specific within-field approach. And I think it has some power. It's not only delta yield in this equation, it's not only the magnitude of that change in yield based on nitrogen rates, it's how that changes. What's the curvature and what's the slope? And it can build that in, and that's pretty powerful. Okay, So if we're going to measure this at the field level, we're going to have to be looking at measuring delta yield. That'll be a measurement we have that already exists in the databases. And most of the databases around are using some sort of a quadratic or quadratic plateau type of function. And so we can already start looking and exploring some of these relationships between B and C and getting some sort of understanding what alpha could be. It would be interesting, I think, to take a look at alpha and how that might change under different conditions. That might involve in the future there could be some sort of a cluster analysis done on that relationship to say, well, under poorly drained conditions, maybe that alpha factor looks different than under well-drained conditions. And so there may be some things like that that could be explored to make it even more site-specific and condition-specific. All right, so really you can envision a two-prong approach to this. The first one will be kind of some larger N-rate studies, where we're going to have to, you know, put out 6 or 7 rates and get some understanding of what this response looks like. We get some relationship between B and C. We understand where that delta yield EONR is. And we're going to need that kind of a database, and that exists a lot currently. The other one is going to be the local calibration, or the local recommendation, rather. If these relationships are already established through these rate studies, we can go to farmers' fields and not conduct rate studies, but just conduct a 0N and enough N, whatever that is. And you're going to get the delta yield. If you know the delta yield, then you know where to take that farmer back to the recommendation using the responses that were determined in a calibration effort. So, you know, imagining this thing worldwide, you know, you could work with some universities, and this is, you know, part of our institute's mission now is to work more worldwide. You could take a look at some calibration efforts that were done in university sites, and then when the local recommendations were needed, you could go to farmers' fields, even in, you know, places like India and China, and get a two-rate type of study in those places to get the farmer placed on those calibration curves. So that's really the talk. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. But I thought it was just a good idea maybe to go through this concept because I know a lot of people are interested in it. Yeah, Ardell? Yeah, the question that was asked is, you know, the response to nitrogen is going to vary quite a bit based on residual soil nitrates or some of those things, and that's certainly true. I think the way that you would take that into account, certainly at the farmer level, that's going to determine the intercept, right? So if you have a lot of residual nitrate, you would expect the yield without nitrogen to be higher than where you had lower residual nitrate without an applied nitrogen. That's where that. So as residual nitrate increases, the nitrogen supplying power to the soil basically increases, and that'll move your intercept up. So if your yield stays the same and you're moving your intercept up, that'll make the delta yield lower. I don't know if you agree with that, but that would be the, as I understand it, that would be kind of the premise. Yeah, the question is, you know, farmer practice is certainly not to leave no N out there. And can we accommodate, you know, fertilizer placed with a C, which in the U.S. we call, you know, starter fertilizer, and typically there's, or fall applications of DAP and MAP, which are ammonium-containing phosphates. You know, in an ideal world, if you really want to get to nitrogen supplying power of the soil, of course you would not like to have that. We had some discussions about this too. And practically, we're going to have to allow for that. But I think those data are going to have to be separated. You know, where you say, you know, if you're going to supply some N already, we're going to have to keep those data kind of separated from the data where there are some true zeros. The main thing is if you apply some nitrogen and you're very responsive, it's going to definitely change that what you're interpreting as being the nitrogen supplying power of the soil. It's going to decrease that delta yield window by applying that small amount of N. So that is going to have to be taken into account, but you can do it, but you'll have to keep things well separated, I guess would be my answer. be happy to discuss that with anybody else that's got some feelings on that.